Welcome to the Forgotten Word with Bob Wise. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and welcome to the program today. We want to talk a little bit today about Matthew 7:13, and we'll go all the way through number 29 here real quickly. It says, talks about the narrow and wide gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears the words, those words of mine, and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. But when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Now, one thing that I find peculiar in this particular chapter of Matthew is before the part, the few verses, 7-12, before where I started reading at number 13, it talked about the prayer and the golden rule, how in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Well, then it goes on to talk about how the way to heaven is through a very narrow gate. But there's two gates. The way to hell is through the broad gate, the wide gate that leads to destruction. And it says there are many who enter through it. But it says the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. And I think what we're seeing here is what they're talking about is that we hear this expression a lot about how, you know, the narrow gate's the way to heaven, but broad is the road that leads to destruction. And we don't really look at it for what it really is and for what it means in its entirety, I believe. And then it's ironic to so many that don't understand the Bible here that it goes on to talk about the tree and its fruit. And he starts right in after it says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. He says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly like ravenous wolves. And he goes on to talk about their fruits and how you'll recognize them by their fruits. And what we hear today in our today's society is that all these big preachers in the big churches and even the small churches now, unfortunately, and the TV evangelists for the majority, they're so big and they got so much going on, and God has made them so prosperous and wealthy and famous, and they're drawing thousands upon thousands and millions of people to them. So it has to be of God. Who else would bless them like that? Well, we know that the devil's behind a lot of it. People don't understand that. They think that everything that's successful in this world is from God. And you know what? It's not. Jesus made it very plain. He's not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. Why can't people understand that things that are popular in today's society, things that are successful on the most part in today's society are not from God? They're from the ruler of this world. Don't people understand that? I mean, is it that hard to understand? Of course not. It's not hard to understand. It's just that we're greedy, selfish people. We inwardly look to see what can please us. And that's what it says. And that's why he continues on. And when he talks about, you know them by their fruits, and then he turns the very next words, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean? You can't call Jesus Lord unless you've accepted him. He's not your Lord. So what he's saying right here is all who claim to have accepted me and believe on me and call me Lord, they haven't actually accepted me. They're using my name, but they don't mean it in their hearts. They don't mean it in their lives. What does he say to that? Not everyone, listen closely to these words here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. You see that? He who does the will of my Father. So what does that tell you? No, I'm not going to start on this big tirade about a salvation by works. Of course not. Your salvation is a free gift from the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. Jesus is your way to heaven. He freely opens the door for you if you accept him. But he's telling us right there that he who does the will of my Father. And that's why you all through the New Testament, it doesn't say anything about accept Jesus and then sit down in the middle of the road or on the side of the street or go home and sit on your couch for the rest of your life and do what you want to do. It does not say that. Paul said he fought a good fight. What fight? Why did he have to fight a fight? He accepted Jesus as his Savior. Why did he have to fight a fight? Because he had to do the will of the Father. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. It's not hard to understand. The next sentence says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. How many TV evangelists today and preachers around the world do you see right now prophesying in Jesus' name? Right now casting out demons. Right now in Jesus' name performing miracles. They're using Jesus' name to do all this is what they're saying, but they're not using Jesus. They're just using his name because they don't know him. They're just throwing the word Jesus out there just like if it was the word Bob or Barry or Richard or Martha, Steve, Billy, Cindy, anybody. It's a name to them that they have used to act like they're doing all this in our Lord's name when they're not. If you are using it in the Lord's name and you are with the Lord and have accepted the Lord and are one of his, that's a whole other story. But anybody can get up and say, in Jesus' name, I command you to walk. You can say all kinds of things. But it says right there, but Jesus went to the very next sentence, and I know these are verses now as we have them written in the Bible, but in those days, things were just written down as they was given to them. They didn't have verse numbers back then. So the very next sentence says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That does not mean you who go out and speed in your car and break the law. You who robbed a bank and broke the law. You who stole money from the candy store. That's not the kind of lawlessness we're talking about here. Christ is talking about they did not practice the law. And that's where there's so much deception in the world today. Jesus fulfilled the law. Of course he fulfilled the law. But he didn't say he took it away. He didn't say he came to destroy the law or to abolish the law. He said he came to fulfill the law. And that's exactly what he done. But we have a job. We have a job to follow the will of God in heaven. Now, you can call it law. You can call it anything you want to. But what they're talking about is following God's will. And knowing what God's will is. God's laws. God has rules. Jesus has rules he taught us. We can't just say, Jesus be my Savior, and then do anything we want to do in life. You know, we can't just accept Jesus as our Savior, as we say, and then devote the whole entirety of the rest of our life to showing up 1 hour on a Sunday morning and the rest of the time going out seeing how much money we can make to pad our coffers. To put, how much money can I get in the bank? The Bible makes it very plain, folks. Cash is not king. Jesus is king. There's a gentleman on the radio right now who has a program about finances who says, where cash is king. No, cash is not king. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many millions of people believe you. I don't care how many thousands or thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have followed your practices and your program to make money. I don't care how many thousands or millions there might be of them. Cash is not king to a Christian. Cash is not king to Christ. Cash is not king to God. How dare any man who proclaims to be a Christian and have a Christian a program where he talks about God and Jesus and operate your finances under Christian principles and call cash king? Joke? No, it's not a joke. Sickening. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at a sad state of affairs. A sad state of affairs. You know, Jesus made it really plain here. Everyone who hears these words of mine, here's what it says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. What do you think he says when he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them? You mean we got to do something? So many people have taken God's plan of salvation and distorted it. Of course, it's a salvation by grace. Is it grace alone? I don't think it's exactly that, no. I think that Jesus, through his grace, saved my soul by me asking him to be my Lord, excuse me. I asked Jesus to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I repented of my sins. I promised to follow him the rest of my days. People who say that you can't even say something or it's works don't understand that if you repent of your sins, you've done something. If you promise to follow Jesus, you're doing something. If you promise to change your ways, you're doing something. It's not as simple as they try to make it sound. Listen, that's all I got for today. We're going to continue the same topic tomorrow. We're going to just continue on the program tomorrow. God bless you. I love you. Visit us on the web, Facebook, BobWiseForgottenWord.org. I love you. Jesus loves you. See you tomorrow.